Breaking now, Raleigh police need your help in tracking down the driver of this car who could be connected to a homicide investigation.
A family desperate to find out where their loved one is.
Not knowing what has happened to you is very hard.
What they say happened before he disappeared more than a month ago that makes them believe he didn't wander off on his own.
Who will see lows in the 20s and the first look at your Christmas Day forecast?
Christmas is coming early for hundreds of families here in Cumberland County, thanks to the Salvation Army.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you.
We'll hear from families who received gifts from the Salvation Army Angel Tree.
And right now we have breaking news from Apex. In the last few minutes, we learned police are investigating an assault by a masked man with a handgun. Good evening, I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. WRL's Mark Boyle is in the Live Center with what we know about this so far, Mark.
Well, Dan, this is new right now at 7 o'clock. I've been emailing back and forth with the chief of police at Apex, and he says they're still actively searching for the suspect here. A woman was pistol whipped inside of her apartment just after 3 o'clock this afternoon. On your screen, this is what we do know. The victim physically was attacked. There was a masked man that used a handgun to hit her inside of her apartment. The suspect was wearing a face covering, and so it's unclear right now who this man is. I did ask if the victim and the suspect knew each other. They don't know if that's the case or not. That's the phone number, Apex Police Department, 919-362-8661, if you have any information about this. I do want to show you where this is all unfolding. Downtown Apex on the northwest side of this map right here, Solandra Lane. This is a large apartment community. I also asked the police department if the door jamb was broken in or if the door was unlocked. They say they are actively looking into that. They just don't know right now how the suspect got in. The victim in this case taken to the hospital and being treated. A serious situation under investigation right now in Apex. We do have a crew on the way to the scene as they continue to search for the person responsible, and that victim is being treated tonight. Back to you.
Boy, frightening for that community, Mark. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So grab an extra blanket, keep the coats out, the heavy coats. A little warmer outside right now, but it's going to get really cold the next few days.
Yeah, the chill is starting tonight. Mm-hmm. Meteorologist Mike Mays is in WRAL Severe Weather Center with a look at what you'll see first, Mike.
What you'll see first is a little wet weather, Ashley, and that's the cold front that's coming in that will bring that chill. And the radar is showing a little bit of light rain over parts of Moore County, Chatham County, up toward Person County, and this will continue to make its way toward the east over the next few hours. So it does turn colder overnight. It will be breezy as well by 10 o'clock 42, by midnight 40, and when you wake up in the morning, 30. And it's not anything, at least right now, that's remarkably cold. 30 for Rocky Mount in the morning, 31 at Goldsboro, 28 at Roxboro, 29 at Southern Pines with some sprinkles and light rain till about midnight, maybe mixed with a few wet snowflakes. What's more remarkable is when the wind kicks in, the wind chill when you step out in the morning, probably in the low to mid 20s. Kids at the bus stop are going to be really cold to start the day. By lunchtime, still in the 30s. Tomorrow afternoon, wind chill still in the 30s as well. Now, coming up in less than 15 minutes, we'll take a town by town look, Ashley, at the sprinkles, spotty light rain, and maybe a few wet snowflakes as well.
That wind does make such a difference. Thanks,
sure
Mike.
Does. Breaking news here in Raleigh. Police now investigating an assault on the Beltline as a homicide. Police released a picture about 2 hours ago. You see it here. Detectives want to talk to the driver of this vehicle and anyone who was inside. As part of their investigation, they're also looking for anyone who may have camera footage of the incident. Police closed 440 Sunday between Hillsborough Street and Western Boulevard after finding a white van with bullet holes at the time. Police only called it a serious assault. Obviously, that has changed. They've not said what they found inside exactly. Developing tonight, Raleigh police are investigating a shooting on Morningside Drive. One person is in the hospital with serious injuries. WRL Sky 5 over that scene while police investigated. Police did not release any information about a suspect.
This is 82-year-old Eddie Harris. He's better known as Mr. Lawrence. He's been missing since November 4th. Community members, relatives, deputies have been searching for him with no luck so far. As WRL's Destiny Patterson reports, his family doesn't believe he just wandered off.
Granville County deputies say they've been reviewing video footage near his home, reviewing bank statements, looking at cell tower data, and interviewing witnesses. Deputies say he was last seen here wearing bib overalls November 4th. The 82-year-old showed signs of undiagnosed dementia. But his sister, who wasn't comfortable talking on camera, says she doesn't believe he just wandered off. His sister says he had fallen just about a week before he went missing, making it difficult for him to walk very far. She Tulsa says they found Harris's dog locked in the bathroom after he disappeared. Granville County deputies say they've worked with volunteers and North Carolina search dogs to search different parts of the Antioch neighborhood. Meanwhile, his family says that all they can do is pray for his safe return. Destiny Patterson, WRL News, Granville County.
Oh, just so sad. The sheriff says they do plan to do more searches for him. They're also looking for anyone who might have any information.
Right now in Durham, city workers have now joined that call for a ceasefire in Gaza. We have a live look inside the Durham City Council meeting right now. Members of labor and community organizations are calling on council to pass a resolution supporting a permanent ceasefire and an end to U.S. aid in Israel. The group is also calling on council not to extend the city's ShotSpotter contract and to spend that money on boosting employees' pay. That Durham City Council meeting, of course, now underway, as you were seeing there. Any moment, city leaders are expected to approve a $52,000 extension to the city's ShotSpotter program. The original contract for the gunshot detection system ended last Thursday. The police department asked for an extension while they evaluate the results from the 12-month pilot program. Leaders are expected to approve that request.
Christmas is coming a week early for hundreds of less fortunate families in Fayetteville. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays shows how the Salvation Army Angel Tree Program will put Christmas smiles on the faces of children in Cumberland, Moore, and Robeson counties.
Well, about 500 families are going to be receiving gifts from the Salvation Army's Angel Tree Program. You've seen the angels on the trees. Now we're going to show you the gift of giving.
There's plenty to celebrate inside this warehouse that holds Christmas for hundreds of families in the Fayetteville area.
Totally overall, we have approximately 1,300 individuals, which equates to 596 families. And today we're going to try to give away at least the first 300.
People take an angel from the tree and anonymously buy gifts for children up to 12 years of age and seniors older than 65. Ann Huntley and her mother-in-law are picking up gifts for five children.
So my daughter, she likes her drawing, and the boys are more into like Elmo and dinosaurs and, you know, Spider-Man, Batman.
This program helps out a lot because, you know, I'm a single mom. It helps me, you know, get gifts that I can't afford.
But the program has run into a little glitch. About 260 angels were taken off the trees, but gifts weren't purchased for those children. We're told that's a problem the Salvation Army faces every year.
And so when we don't have that angel adopted, that person, that kid, that child does not get adopted. They just don't get assisted.
That's where Toys for Tots steps in. They work hand in hand every year to assist the Salvation Army's Angel Tree program.
To fill any missing angel that doesn't get turned in, or if they get turned in and the sponsor wasn't able to buy them everything on their list, then we supplement that with the toys that we collect.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you.
So the gift of giving is alive and well here in Fayetteville. And the hope is even those angels that were taken off the trees and gifts weren't provided, even those children will get something for Christmas. In Fayetteville, Gilbert Bays, WREL News.
Good to know there is a way to fill that gap. You know, Toys for Tots is actually a Marine-based program, but that didn't stop them from helping more than 400 soldiers and their families this year at Fort Liberty. The Salvation Army of Wake County in a similar situation. Organizers say about 1,000 of their angels were adopted but never returned. Gift distribution starts tomorrow. The Salvation Army still accepting clothing and gifts for older children through Wednesday. Go to WRAL.com to see the specifics of what they need and other places that still need your help.
There's so many ways to be generous this holiday season. WRAL viewers chipping in to make sure that children stay warm this winter. Friday was WRAL's 35th annual Coach for the Children Day of Giving campaign, and the phones were ringing off the hook for more than 12 hours. So far, we've tallied it up. We've collected more than $159,000, and you still have a chance to give. Thanks to everyone who has been so generous so far. You can donate to the Coach for the Children campaign through December 31st. You can scan the QR code on your screen or visit WRAL.com/coach. Or you can drop off a new or gently used coat, hats, and gloves at your neighborhood Jiffy Lube.
Next at 7, we're talking live with U.S. Representative Jeff Jackson about his decision to run for North Carolina Attorney General. And we'll check back in with Mike Mays to see when tonight's rain should arrive with this live look in Goldsboro. are a handful of familiar faces in the race for North Carolina Attorney General. Last week, we spoke with Durham County District Attorney Sitana DeBerry. There's Republican Congressman Dan Bishop. And tonight, we're speaking with Democratic Congressman Jeff Jackson. Representative Jackson, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Congressman, you were an assistant district attorney in Gaston County after graduating from law school. Your opponent in the primary is the Durham County District Attorney. She's also served as general counsel for the State Department for Health and Human Services. Why do you believe you are more qualified to serve as the state's attorney general?
Well, I respect her record. Here's mine. I've been a criminal prosecutor, a civil litigator, a state senator, a member of Congress. I served in Afghanistan with Army Special Operations, and now I've been in for 21 years. I'm a major now in the National Guard. I'll defer to the voters as whether or not they think one of us is more qualified than the other, but I have nothing but respect for my opponent in the primary.
Let's talk a little bit about your record, specifically about gun safety legislation. I know you've been a proponent of gun safety legislation, including, if I'm understanding correctly, universal background checks. You've also talked about how hard it's been to get legislation passed. Is gun control, gun safety reform, is that something that you want to tackle if elected as AG?
Well, the job of Attorney General is to keep people safe. And keeping people safe from gun violence is going to be a top priority because we have a really unfortunate amount of gun violence in the state. The idea is you are more of a defender of people. There is an advocacy role as well. So I would advocate to the state legislature when I thought certain legislative reforms needed to be made. But look, it's not really a partisan job. It's not really going to be about left versus right. It's going to be about doing the right thing. And I think in order to do the right thing in a job that's about keeping people safe, you have to try and tackle gun violence. I mean, there's just no way out of it.
So aside from lobbying the lawmakers, what can you do aside from being an advocate? Like, North Carolina's laws do restrict actions that other states can do. You know, other states are going after gun manufacturers, for example. What can you do?
The Attorney General can serve as a convening authority among law enforcement to try and elevate priorities for enforcement, for prosecution. But look, we don't get to just make laws. That's very much the domain of the state legislature. So you can use your convening authority among law enforcement, make sure it's very clear what the mission needs to be. But at the end of the day, it's going to be, you know, one of my jobs to ask the General Assembly, hey, let's keep people safer with some better laws.
We got to talk about your social media presence. You have a huge following on all the platforms on social media, specifically on TikTok. You've got, I believe it's 2.5 million followers when I last checked. I'm sure you know TikTok has been banned on state-issued devices here in North Carolina. Curious to get your thoughts on what message you think it sends to state employees that you're using a banned platform to drum up support for this campaign.
Well, I'm not using a banned platform to drum up support for a campaign. I use social media to keep my constituents informed about work that I'm doing on their behalf. And I use 7 or 8 different social media platforms to do that. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I do a weekly update where I let my constituents know, hey, here's the work that I did for you this week. And the reason I use TikTok is because I've got about 760,000 some odd constituents. My sense is about 300,000 of them are on TikTok. And there are a lot of valid concerns about TikTok. I share the FBI director's assessment of a lot of the security threats. And as a member of Congress, I would be in favor of a lot of different reforms to help improve that situation. But as long as it exists, I'm going to use it for good, and I'm going to use it to keep my constituents posted.
Now, because it is banned on state-issued devices, will you stop using it if elected, particularly TikTok?
Oh, it's banned on federal devices as well. I don't use it on a federal device. I would not use it on a state device.
Okay. All right. Well, Representative Jackson, appreciate your time here tonight, and good luck.
Thank you.
Orange County Schools didn't have to go far to find its new superintendent. The school board selected Dr. Danielle Jones out of 26 applicants. She is an assistant superintendent for middle schools for Durham Public Schools and is also an Air Force veteran. Dr. Jones starts her new job on February 1st. You'll see a few more splashes of color in downtown Raleigh. Kind of cool. This is nice art. 4 of the city's signal boxes are now pulling a double duty. They're also working as pieces of public art. The images are on this vinyl wrap placed on the box so it can be easily removed when going back to looking like it normally does. The city partnered with Raleigh Arts to identify artists to create this work. If you have an idea for a signal box, check the city's website for the information and application form.
Let's get back over to meteorologist Mike Mays with that rain coming in behind you.
Yeah, it's mainly light rain, Ashley, and I don't think it's going to be any heavier than that. We see in Montgomery County, Moore County, getting over to Randolph County, Asheboro seeing some light rain, maybe a little bit of light rain over western Wake County, also northern Durham County, Granville County, Person County, getting up into southern Virginia. This will be in the area through 10, maybe 11 o'clock tonight, and the freezing level is lowering in the atmosphere, so some of this possibly could be mixed with wet snowflakes. That's what the models are suggesting. We'll watch to see if that's the case, but this is primarily going to be sprinkles and spotty light rain where you see the white showing up on the radar back toward the high country, southwestern Virginia, West Virginia. That is definitely snow coming on down, and again, this will last till about 11 or so tonight. Upper level disturbance moving on by, and once it passes, it'll turn much colder by daybreak. 48 right now, Fenton jammed with folks on the ice there. They just finished with the Zamboni cleaning up the ice. Now the folks are back out there looking at the clouds increasing across the area with that 48. 45 in Roxboro, 47 Southern Pines, 46 right now in Goldsboro. As we expand the view, there's our system from yesterday that brought the soaking rain. Boy, 3, 4, 5, even some 6-inch rainfall reports. This is going to go a long way in getting rid of the drought, and I can't wait till Thursday to see the new drought status. We'll have that for you Thursday. And then there's the disturbance that's coming on by right now. So let's check out Futurecast, falling behind a little bit on the coverage of the rain that's out there. This is our most reliable high-resolution model, and it's showing temperatures in the 40s this evening, a little bit of light rain, and that times the little blue showing up, which would indicate perhaps some wet snowflakes. No worries that it's going to accumulate. 40 in Rocky Mount at 11 o'clock. Maybe some snowflakes coming down. You might want to step outside and check for that. Join me at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WREL. If there's anything on the radar, definitely we'll point that out. And then it clears up overnight, and by daybreak, well, there's 2 a.m., we're looking at 31 at Roxboro, 34 in Raleigh, 36 in Fayetteville. And with the winds kicking up throughout the night, that's going to drive wind chills down. And as I showed you at the top of the newscast, when we start our day tomorrow, wind chills will likely be in the lower to mid 20s. The kids at the bus stop will really be cold, so you need to make sure they have the gloves, the hats, the scarves, covering every little bit of skin. 33 at Rocky Mount at 8 a.m., 31 at Southern Pines, 31 at Roxboro. Nothing remarkably cold, but once you get rid of the wind by Wednesday morning, we're talking about upper teens to mid 20s for lows, so it's going to be far colder tomorrow night. Sprinkles, spotty light rain this evening, dry by daybreak, upper 20s to low 30s to lows. No worries about any kind of frozen roads when you get up because the winds will evaporate the moisture on the roads real quick. And then bright, breezy and cold tomorrow with highs only in the low to mid 40s. Our normal high is about 54 this time of year, so we're well below where we should be. Now, Christmas is now on the 7-day forecast. This time next week, everybody would have opened up their Christmas gifts. There's a possibility of sprinkles, partly to mostly cloudy, 56 the high. There are signs the day after Christmas and Wednesday could be quite wet. And that's a trend I've been seeing in the past several model runs. But this new model run that came in this afternoon indicates the possibility of sprinkles for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. That's why I added a 20% chance for rain for late Saturday night, Sunday night, and also on Monday. When Santa arrives Sunday night, I don't think he's going to have any issue getting in. And Christmas Day, not bad. It's not really overly too cold, 56. We see the arrival of winter on Thursday, the high 58. We had 59 at RDU today, so it was a really nice, comfortable day.
It sure was. Right. Mike, we really liked your Santa's dance moves that he was doing over there.
All that flossing. My kids do that. Yeah.
Thanks.
Health inspectors now, they've wrapped up their investigation of illnesses tied to a local sushi restaurant. Coming up next at 7 o'clock, find out why they opened that investigation to begin with. Also, always to remind you, you can listen to this newscast as a podcast. The WRL News Daily podcast features entire newscasts from beginning to end. Morning, noon, evening, the 7 p.m. newscast, also a podcast each day. You can find WRL News Daily in Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. We're back. The Carolina men's basketball family is mourning the loss of a big name tonight. UNC announced the death of Eric Montross this morning. Montross was diagnosed with cancer in March, as many of you may know. He played under Coach Dean Smith from 1990 to 1994. He helped lead the Tar Heels to a national championship. Montross is survived by his wife and children.
The norovirus outbreak at Sushi 9 is over. Wake County Public Health says there is no indication of an ongoing risk. Public health officials interviewed more than 240 people who reported getting sick between November 28th and December 5th. At this point, investigators have not pinpointed the source of norovirus. A spokesperson tells WRAL the volume of complaints they received in that one-week time frame was significant.
Wake County has not seen a foodborne illness outbreak of this size in some time. So this is not something that is expected frequently and we would consider unusual.
Jennifer Brown says no new cases have been reported in 12 days.
Spinach is being recalled after routine testing found listeria. The recalls applied to 8-ounce bags of Fresh Express spinach and 9-ounce bags of Publix spinach. No illnesses have been reported. No other products are being recalled. But Five on Your Side explains how to know if your bag of spinach is one of them being recalled and how to get a refund on WRL.com. Just search the word recall. Let's take a live look outside of the DBAP. All the fun got rained out last night at Woolies Winter Wonderland. I had the kids all planned. We were getting ready to go and then just a little bit. But the fun returns this week a night early. You can now get tickets for Tuesday night as well.
I went on Saturday and it was a whole lot of fun. You can entertain your family or your out-of-town guests with the Bulls Express Train, igloos in the infield, a sledding hill, and much more. You can get tickets at DurhamBulls.com. I got to tell you, the lineup for that slide, it was moving quickly, but man, you could tell that there was a lot of demand. Same with the trains. It was fun.
You were out there with your little girl.
Yeah,
fun for kids.
Oh, yeah. Really good time. Yeah. And they were handing out glow sticks. It was really fun. Yeah.
Well, we'll get the boys out there sometime soon. Thanks for joining us and making WRL News your choice for local news. I got there. Thanks for being with us.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.